Welcome to the ANews podcast. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. This podcast is designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. Most stories have more information and some fun commentary at the non-sectarian anarchist news site, anarchistnews.org. Editorial, Veganism and Anarchy. This week, one of the busier threads was the vegan primer one on a short writing called Biting Back. Since I thought the piece itself did a weak job of arguing for its perspective, although I am not a vegan, I thought I would take a shot at arguments for veganism that I find compelling, none of which have anything to do with morality, and none of which require a vegan diet. Veganism is just one solid, daily, ongoing way to approach them. A. The only real way to start to imagine a new world is to act differently in this world. The more regular and fundamental that different act is, the more likely it is to shift our perspective. Diet is one of those regular and foundational things, as any bulimic or anorexic person will remind us. Forcing ourselves to think about our choices and the world every time we get hungry keeps us alive to the choices we have, and perhaps more significantly, the choices we don't have in our daily lives. We mostly don't have the choice to not buy food, to eat food that is unpolluted by toxins, to have a relationship with the plants and land and maybe animals that we eat, etc. B. Constraints are useful, and choosing not only our own constraints, but how we negotiate those constraints, is one way to explore agency. Anarchist thinking is typically considered as a way to think about liberation, as a freeing up for ourselves. But it is just as frequently experienced as constraints, what not to do. That usually means a self-denial, but it doesn't have to. This is a complicated and controversial idea, maybe, at least for anarchists, so here is an example. I have identified as a vegetarian for years, and in particular, I don't like the idea of eating pigs for some half-arbitrary reason, but I really like salami. My personal compromise is that I don't buy salami for myself, and as I buy almost all of my own food, that takes care of that problem. When I have eaten salami that was sitting around the house, I have been mocked, by an ex-vegan, by the way, as not being a vegetarian at all, to which I responded that I'm not ideological. Obviously, aside from whatever humor I was going for at the moment, this also brings up questions of definition, labeling, and so on. For example, what is the point of labeling myself as something if I'm using a mostly idiosyncratic definition? Questions like this have answers that shift and morph, if they exist at all, but they continue to be relevant. How do we choose to operate within limits? How do we have limits forced on us? Are only our self-chosen limits anarchist ones? Interesting ways to negotiate differences with our friends and fellow travelers is a practice that veganism could really be promoting. Food is an incredibly significant cultural and social marker. Sharing food is a huge deal. How we make our own food and share that food and eat other people's food is a cultural art that increasingly submits to monoculturalism. Vegans could be a part of remembering to pay attention to that, not necessarily or always by insisting that people make vegan options available, but by mixing it up, by perhaps bringing their own really yummy vegan food to a party for themselves and others. Similarly, sharing food could include kosher dishes, alcohol-free dishes, gluten-free dishes, etc. Encouraging diversity is something that sharing food is uniquely suited to. An anarchist culture is something that sort of exists, and that anarchist vegans are arguably trying to make more manifest. Cultures are made up of food, land, ceremony, language, habit, and also generations and families. Some of those we don't have and are unlikely to have for the foreseeable future. While it's hard to get past the moralism of most vegans who talk about being vegans, that push to have anarchist thought and analysis in all the things we do could be engaging, could be sustaining, could be challenging in a good way.
Today, an intergalactic headline, the planet's Federation Food and Drug Administration have ruled over 15 extraterrestrial meats and their artificially synthesized substitutes illegal to humans for unknown reasons.
Which leads us to the question, what's new this week? Darko Mathers was not an eco-fascist. From 325 by L. This is another anti-ITS piece distinguishing between the earlier pre-random killing rhetoric, days of the group, and now. It cites a dead friend of the author, Darko Mathers. The two co-wrote a book that in the US is called Civil or Subversive, and implies that Mathers' name shouldn't be sullied by what eco-extremists are known for now.
Italy to the International Anarchist Movement, from anarchija.info. A request to anarchists around the world to support the two remaining prisoners from an original eight who were arrested for a bombing and a Molotov attack. Salvatore Vespertino and Pierre Oretta Falanca are the two still in prison. Quote, "It is important to collectively claim these practices as part of the revolutionary anarchist struggle to avoid isolating our dear comrades. The reasons why our anarchism is partisan of illegalism and propaganda by the deed are something that we feel absolutely necessary, in the past as today, to make all possible efforts to propagate and spread the revolutionary anarchistic idea with the word, publications, black powder. So attack, arson, looting, and armed actions are an integral part of the war brought forth, no holds barred and without any more pre-established limits against the state. May the weapons of politics be abandoned and the politics of arms re-embraced in an indeterminate, constant, and conscious manner." Unquote.
Chile, repression and revolt in Venezuela. From Contra Info, translated by Insurrection News. After 3 months of continuing mass protests against Maduro's so-called socialist government, quote, "The deepening social conflict in Venezuela has a number of interesting edges to address for those of us who are interested in spreading the hostilities against all forms of government and power. Among them, we can find at least two variables. One, the hypocrisy of the democratic states that, via the Organization of American States, are calling for intervention in Venezuela due to the, quote, serious violations of people's freedom, unquote, by the government. As if in their own territories, in states such as the U.S., Mexico, Colombia, and Chile, there exists freedom and respect for what they call human rights in the language of power. Two, the campaign of the international left in support of the government of Nicolas Maduro that classifies the protesters as either simple puppets or agents that are beholden to the interests of the opposition, the mainly right-wing grouping of the Democratic Unity Roundtable, MUD. Both discourses interact in the conflict, trying to shape opinion regarding what takes place in Venezuela, inside and outside the borders of the country." Unquote.
Communique of the Wildfire Cell, Nocturnal Pyromaniac Fraction. From atasa.wordpress.com, quote, "It fills us with profound satisfaction whenever we learn that our crew has carried out more and more violent attacks, wild arson sprees, expropriations, and other criminal misdeeds, which, given the varying nature of these crimes, naturally includes both decisive and indiscriminate attacks. Like the feral individualists who lurked on the sidelines and mingled amongst the packs of yapping dogs in Hamburg before seizing the opportunities to run amok, burn countless cars, and loot some stores, spreading a bit of disorder and chaos throughout the smoldering wreck of the city." Unquote. This communique also refutes the 325 members' assessment of where Darko Mathers would fall in the current controversy over eco-extremist activity.
Remembering the 2013 Indiana University strike. From Plain Words in Bloomington, Indiana. This is an interview with two of the organizers of a campus-wide strike at Indiana University in 2013. The interview goes into specifics for the time and location, and also talks about more general issues like ambivalence about demands and how to keep a more anarchist view when working on reforms. Quote, "Roger, some stated goals, well, there was a list of demands, but really I feel like the goals of the strike were pretty diverse, which was really nice. Even though there was this list of demands, it didn't really matter. They existed as a jumping off point, but they weren't the end goal. I think a lot of people's end goal was just the destruction of the university, so ultimately reducing tuition didn't matter. But I would say it also picked up on all the financial crisis talk, so austerity was a lot of the logic that people used to present it." Mona, "Maybe we can talk more about the demands if that seems important, but like Roger said, the goals of the strike weren't strictly to have these six demands met by the administration. It was more like an opening up of activity and challenging power on campus. So it wasn't a strict program, but really trying to shift these power dynamics and build collectively the power of the students, workers, and faculty against the administration and their austerity measures and their racism."
ITS, or the Rhetoric of Decay. Joint Statement of Insurrectional Groups in Mexican Territory. From 325, this is a response to ITS from people who once defended them, but now find them to be not anarchist, and rooted in, quote, "the nauseous dung of social dysfunction," unquote. Interestingly, this article spends almost as much space rejecting anarcho-legalists and organizationalists as it does on ITS et al.
Biting Back, a Radical Response to Non-Vegan Anarchists. This brief primer on anarchist veganism tries to do something I find interesting, but doesn't do a good job of it. It takes four common responses that non-vegans give to vegans and attempts to refute them. While it makes some appropriate points, for example, it critiques a certain kind of ally behavior, it does a bad job, entirely predictably. Sleight of hand arguing, that is, not speaking to the actual issue but changing the subject, and in general just reiterating the standard vegan moral arguments. Righteousness is rarely convincing. If it were, we'd all be Christians.
Don't Try to Break Us, We'll Explode, from CrimeThink. This is a long and detailed review of the events of this year's G20 in Hamburg, including things like the surprise at Merkel's decision to hold it in that traditionally leftist city, etc., and information shared between protesters about which international policing forces to especially avoid.
Athens. Protesters from the eastern suburbs attack Zografou Town Hall for the death of a street cleaner. A street cleaner tried to work his third shift in 36 hours in the middle of a heat wave. Quote, "The death of Daniela is the result of a policy aimed at the total withering of the working class, even to a point that they collapse, if necessary, due to the establishment of a multi-speed working regime in which, in particular, workers who have no permanent employment are forced to succumb to any extortion forced upon them so that their contract may be renewed." Unquote. A video of the subsequent protest is included.
Argentina. Anarchists still missing after police raid against Mapuche activists. From Freedom News UK, quote, "When the gendarmes fired shots, the blockaders, all ran, including Santiago. They ran to the same side to hide among the vegetation, and there are those who saw where Santiago hid. But between the shots and the assaults, a second later, they lost sight of him and heard an officer shout, 'We have one.' The officers approached the gendarmerie van, opened the back doors, and several personnel surrounded the doors to block the view. From that moment, nothing else is known of Santiago in the community. Along with Santiago's mother and brother, have put in a legal bid to force the gendarmerie to offer up some answers on his whereabouts. Santiago is just the latest in a long line of people beaten up and detained by local law enforcement in recent months. Cushman has become a focus point for landless Mapuche workers who have set up the Pulaf community on unused rural tracts around the town, which Benetton holds the deeds for, and has seen an explosion of violence from authorities, which are intent on breaking the recuperation movement," unquote.
Class combat. From Ultra, which takes its name from, quote, "the football ultras of Europe and North Africa, who, despite appearing apolitical to the traditional left, played an integral role in the insurrections of 2011. This is to emphasize that we are the product of the present moment in all its ambiguity," unquote, which makes them sound pretty interesting. However, they go on to mention Marx as their only theoretical touchpoint. At any rate, this extremely long article focuses on the cultural relevance of martial arts, broadly defined, as a marker for the state of an empire. It draws an explicit parallel between pre-Maoist China, most specifically the so-called Boxer Rebellion, and current U.S. trends, including the rise of the right wing, patriotism, nationalism, and so on, about which it goes into some detail. Quote, "Though they enshrine certain military ideals, physical culture plays a less obvious role in the patriots' day-to-day practice. In contrast, other resurgent far-right groups have taken physical culture as their foundation. The most prominent is likely the Wolves of Vinland, a neo-pagan tribalist cult organized like a biker gang and based around a land project they call Ulfheim near Lynchburg, Virginia, where they crowdfunded the construction of a traditional Viking longhouse. Much smaller than the Patriots, the Wolves have three major chapters with organizational centers in Virginia, the Mountain States, and the Pacific Northwest, as well as a larger propaganda wing called Operation Werewolf that yokes together the participation of smaller groups nationwide. Much of their material is distinguished by a well-designed subcultural aesthetic, with clean logos plastered on professional-looking photos of muscle-strapped white men standing near fires, their faces painted with runes and shoulders covered by animal pelts, all accompanied by terse taglines well-suited to distribution over social media," unquote. Given the increasing focus on people's ability to defend themselves, this communist study in street-level skills in history and fascist tendencies today is probably of interest.
We Are the Inferno, the second hyper-dramatic title from CrimeThink this week. Alexander Reed Ross talks to Simon Springer, the author of The Anarchist Roots of Geography, who doesn't care what ARR calls things. Quote, "Simon, I guess if that label works for you, then I'm fine with it. As I said before with respect to indigenous peoples, I'm not too hung up on what you actually call things," unquote. So ARR must have been quite relieved.
Political Prisoner birthday poster for April 2016 is now available. From the Prison Books Collective, this announcement for the downloadable poster encourages us to plaster it everywhere and organize parties to send birthday cards. Quote, "It's an easy way to help remind them that they aren't forgotten. If you make one, remember, don't use anything like whiteout, stickers, tape, or glitter on it. We also recommend that you put a return name and address and their name and prisoner number on the card, lest the authorities lose the envelope and forget where it is going," unquote.
New forums. The Internet and Technology, started by Squee. Do anti-fascists understand the fascism of the ordinary, or care, started by Fav Noir.
Media. Free Radical Radio, Anarchist Projects Under Capitalism. Inspired by last week's controversial thread on IGD and Patreon, Dirtball announces the newest output from Free Radical Radio, the reading four pieces on capitalism from an old capitalism-themed issue of Anarchy magazine, a Jota, to its friends. The pieces are Aragorn's To Dance with the Devil, Dot Matrix's Capitalism Means Never Having to Say You're Sorry, Andy Robinson's Thinking from the Outside, Avoiding Recuperation, and Lawrence Jurok's Proudhon's Ghost. All of these query what does it mean to be an anarchist project in a capitalist society. Dirtball addresses these questions directly also. Quote, what are the trade-offs associated with selling out in various ways? What is and isn't an anarchist project? How does one make a successful anarchist project? What are different ways to think about success other than effectiveness in capitalist terms? Big numbers, constant growth, measurable metrics. What is the role of property in anarchist projects? Unquote.
Zines and pamphlets published in July 2017. The monthly announcement from Sprout Distro, this time they have No More Illusions No. 2, from Michigan-based group Solidarity and Defense. The insurrectionary How to Start a Fire, Twin Cities-based Nightfall. The Fire Inside on the recent September prison strike. Freedom First on the prison system in the U.S. Anathema Volume 3, Issue 5, out of Philadelphia. The Sabotage Zine Radio Silence, on an action in Zurich in 2016. The NYC ABC Illustrated Guide to Political Prisoners and Avalanche 11, which were both also posted on A-News in recent weeks.
Podcasts. Anarchy Radio, August 8th, 2017. Always an hour. Talking starts at 5:40. Alice will be guesting next week to talk about the trip she and Jay-Z just had in New York. Jay-Z did an interview with United Green Alliance. Temperatures still at record highs. Billie Holiday is always lovely. In apparent pride of Black and Green's ideological rigidity, Jay-Z calls Black Seed the fallback for authors who have been rejected by Black and Green. He also revels in being named in one of the editorials in his ongoing search for relevance in anarchist conversations. Kathin complains that her social circles aren't overlapping with Black Seed readers, so she has to pay to get one. Tech news, sympathy machines for doctors that mimic symptoms, monitoring cell phones for suicide markers, shippers are going back to radio communication as it is harder to hack. Action news from Europe and Canada, vandals trash high school in Portland, Gray calls in to encourage conversations between libertarians and anarchists.
The Final Straw Radio, Haymaker Jim on anti-fascism, fitness, and much more, rebroadcast. Sean starts at about 11:30 and formally announces his run for Ohio governor for 2018 and shares his platform and campaign strategies. He plans to return the state's territory to the natives who should still own the land as part of ignored treaties. He needs an anti-campaign staff and people to come to Ohio to register to vote and vote for him. He has not contacted Russian hackers to help him get elected. Sean's straight-faced humor and plans that almost might work if you look cross-eyed long enough always work for me. The interview starts at 17:45. This is a repeat interview of the Haymaker folks, apparently because the gym is doing a fundraiser. The Final Straw is a solid, good-hearted project that has amazing continuity. It's too bad that as part of Zero Channel, they're taking sides in the IGD feud that they have nothing to do with.
Announcing the Channel Zero Network 24/7 live stream. From Channel Zero, a newly formed podcast network of some anti-authoritarian English language podcasts, with 24/7 radical audio stream and a website. Quote, our goal is to expand the reach of anarchist analysis into a larger and more public audience with a horizontally run organization that is led by the podcasters themselves. Because now, more than ever, it is vital that we build our own platforms, our own infrastructure, and thus our own power. Unquote. They plan to do this by ignoring various well-established anarchist projects based on anarchist infrastructure with the unstated goal of catering to sectarian groups. Sad.
Topic of the week, virtual anarchy. With the growth and increasing pervasiveness of the internet, it is becoming more likely that people are being introduced to anarchism and all things related to anarchy on the internet. It has been said on the A-News podcast recently that there are many anarchists now who experience their whole lives as anarchists online, not in face-to-face contact with other anarchists. Assuming that the internet continues to get bigger and better, that more people around the world continue to plug into the net, and that more people continue to walk, ride, drive around, looking down at their phones, we can only assume that this experience of virtual anarchy will become more pronounced. This is especially true considering that newer generations are growing up with this being the only world that they've known. So our topic this week is, how can we best respond to these trends? Is trolling, memeing, and doxing the best that we can do Or is there something more? Without becoming techie geniuses, what new, creative, and interesting things can we do with internet technologies as anarchists? Can we create real communities and find real freedom online, or will that all become increasingly removed from us, at least until the mega machine is destroyed? So I imagine Tech Master Aragorn has thoughts about this.
I mean, I think it's apparent what my thoughts are, which is that for anarchists to do anything with the internet, they need to control as much of the infrastructure and as much as the as of it as possible. But it is perhaps true that the time for that, as you know, from a social movement perspective, is by and large over. Meaning that when the internet started out, it was 1,000 different little islands of groups of people, and it had 1,000 different possibilities of what was going to happen. And as time has gone by, you know, Facebook is like one of the top three websites visited. Google is one of the top three sites visited. People's experience of finding each other and of being on the internet in general has totally changed. And the amount of control that an individual person has over what happens on the internet is decreasing day by day. And that counts the quote unquote techie geniuses. I'm part of a cooperative of people who do internet infrastructure, and we are actually seriously talking for the very first time about how to recruit. And what that really means is how to recruit young people to give a fuck about the infrastructure of the internet.
So my first thoughts about this, to try to frame it in a way that I know how to talk about, because I'm not a techie person like you are. And I use my internet differently than the people who we're talking about in the question. What's good about anarchy on the internet in exactly the context that you're talking about? So there is something about more or less all of the people who are going to be anarchists online, or not all of them, but a greater percentage of them, are probably roughly in about the same place. Is that fair? Would you say that that's true?
I don't know what that means.
So we know lots of anarchists who aren't on the internet. At least not, you know.
Yes. I mean, obviously. But that's because we know a lot of old anarchists.
That's true. Well, and we also know a lot of green anarchists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not that they don't use the internet. It's that they don't do their anarchy on the internet.
Sure.
So if you're talking in general, at large, about anarchists who do their anarchy on the internet, I have a rough understanding that those people mostly are on Facebook, on Reddit, and in a couple, I don't know if forums are still the right words, is the right word anymore. But
the vast preponderance do their anarchy, whatever it is, on a very few number of boards.
Right. So that's my point. So mm-hmm. So the general people are kind of generally condensed in the same place, mm-hmm. or the same places. So what is good about us being able to talk to large numbers of us at a time with not a lot of work, right? Because if the internet is about connection, then let's focus on connection and what can we get out of being connected. And so there are lots of examples of this where people advertise their events and advertise their protests and advertise their, you know, this is what we're doing, or this is who we are in the world and the things that we're trying to bring in the world and, you know, come be a part of it. And obviously Little Black Cart has a website and sells books and advertises and posts about the new things that we're going to do. And some of those things I think are great, and some of those things I think aren't necessarily as good for anarchy, but that's aside from the point. What do we get out of that? If that's what's special about the face that you're giving me right now, if what's special about the internet is that there are all these anarchists paying attention in basically the same places, what do we do with that?
Well, I'm not sure that actually that what you say follows from your initial thoughts. So, for instance, Facebook is not a great place to have people pay attention. It's a great place for chatter. It's a great place for noise, for the noise that fills daily life. if anarchism is anything, it's about examining and re-examining how it is that you participate in the daily life that's not your choice, to perhaps convert it to move it in the direction of a daily life that you have control over.
Huh. Okay. So my premise is faulty.
I mean, I'm just, to the extent to which you were making an argument, I don't think that that's a strong argument, but of course, you know, we're coming into this particular topic, having read it for the first time, having looked at it for the first time, and that actually speaks to the problem that you're talking about. Like, if the topic of the week is for anything, it's for we, all of us, the hundreds and or thousands of people that use Anarchist News over a given week, to reflect on a particular topic. So if the topic is virtual anarchy, wouldn't it be nice if in our communities, in our homes, in our among our friendship circles, at least on some level, we were talking about virtual anarchy and what the internet has done to our relationships? But that isn't what happened, right? Even us, we have just focused on this topic of the week for this discussion.
Right.
That's a very different sort of place. Or the other example would be to talk about the rise of the army of late night comedians, or even of news anchors, right? It used to be that Tom Brokaw, you know, Cronkite, that they were who told America what was happening in the world.
Oh, sure.
And that sort of like great man, big man, telling the world what's going on, that's over. And I think that it's also over, you know, Anarchist News, to some extent, supplanted InfoShop News, the website, as a source of singular information about radical politics. And, you know, to some extent, Anarchist News has been supplanted, but not by one site, but by dozens of different thin little windows of people who have very particular types of perspectives that they want a place where there's a safe space for their particular thing. As it turns out, Anarchist News, unbeknownst to Anarchist News, became the landing spot, you know, for a particular audience.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to really engage with the question in good faith, and is trolling, memeing, and doxing the best we can do, or is there something more? And I'm trying to be hopeful in that, yes, there is something more, but I don't actually know what the something more is, because this isn't where I do my politics. So I'm trying to think of it. So that's what I'm trying to frame it the way that I am. What's good about all the anarchists on the internet? And how do we flex that? How do we take advantage of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, this is a place where maybe we should criticize ourselves and say, because we are removed from the people who troll, dox, and meme as their...
For sure.
As their... thing.
Yes.
Because we're generationally removed from that.
Right.
I don't think that there's anything like that's not us.
Right.
I mean, arguably I've been accused of being a troll, but I've never been accused of being, actually I have been, but anyways, the point being that like perhaps this is a generational reflection of values and mores that has a lot more to do with being raised entirely in the glowing sun of the internet, rather than, you know, if I were to ask you the question, where do you do your anarchism? You would say at home, where you live.
Right.
With the people who you know and have had long relationships with.
Right.
Most of the people who you interact with in the internet context of anarchism, you don't know them at all.
Right.
You know them for the length of time you can remember that they continue to like and agree with your comments on Facebook.
Oh. Okay.
You know, there's a good half dozen to a dozen people who I have no idea what their real name is, because they go by a pseudonym that changes every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know them because they laugh along with the jokes that I'm taking part in at any given time. That's not politics. That's barely anarchism. And that's the nature of my relationship to that different generation.
But you and I are old enough that we were in Silicon Valley during the first.com, and we were using the internet when it was a new baby to figure out how to do politics in that space. And We had a project a long time ago called Angry Nerds. And some of the things that ended up on the Angry Nerds page would be called memes now.
Mm-hmm.
But that word didn't exist then. And
it did, but it wasn't using that.
Oh, it wasn't using that context. Okay. We were both trying to make a point and be funny. And and other than that, that was the extent of it. So I guess, like, we kind of watched this blossom into what it is and definitely helped, I feel like, Anarchist News and the fact that there was an Anarchist News 4chan exclusive server.
Anok-chan.
And that was early.
Mm-hmm. It was 10 years ago.
Right. And so my point is just, we don't do our anarchy online the way that the people that we're talking about do our anarchy online, but we do have a relationship to technology and politics that I feel like there has to be some relevance in there.
Well, I mean, I'm going to use different words to talk about this.
Please.
The thing that I really got out of my own experience is a devotion to providing infrastructure to my people, right? By which I mean anarchists. And so Angry Nerds was my experimentation around providing the infrastructure. Many people were hosted by the Angry Nerds server. And so what you're talking about is about money, right? I have been paying the bill to host servers in different locations for almost 20 years now. And so that's on some level a small jump. And you do see not exactly equivalence, but partial equivalence nowadays. Nowadays, it seems more expensive than it seemed back then, but actually it's the inverse is true. But I hear all the time of little micro projects that spin up a server and help host the websites of all the different projects around them. I hear about this fairly frequently. The difference is very few of those projects have the long-term commitment that's sort of the unique thing about what it is that we've been doing for the past 20 years.
So are you saying that you think that part of the answer to this question is about infrastructure?
I wish I could say that. I don't think that conversation is as unsexy of a conversation as talking about DIY and sort of having a DIY ethic. And to some extent, it's a more grown-up version of DIY.
This is true.
And so I'm sort of sick of sort of like wagging my finger at like the kids and saying you should be doing long-term projects like I did, because I'm not sure that's the answer for everybody. And I think that there are some systemic unexamined reasons why that isn't happening that I'm not sure I can help with.
Okay.
Because you know, there is a way in which I'm a Gen Xer and we still had echoes of World War II and you know, heard our grandparents talking about the Depression.
Absolutely.
And I just feel like the way in which, even though the current generation of kids are actually poorer than we were, they in fact don't seem to have a Depression era inspiration to pretty much anything that they do.
Right.
So that would be one of the few like socioeconomic things that I would talk about as informing their practice and their desires that is really just different than us.
But one of the things that was important about what we were doing back then in terms of technology was everyone was just trying to figure it out. So like everything that we did, that we put on the internet, I watched you bang on the code for extended periods of time before anything could actually become real. And you don't have to do that anymore.
That's true.
The world is full of things that makes this easier. And so maybe that's actually part of what's happening. Why is there the need to own the infrastructure when it's just so easy to get an apartment for nothing?
I mean,
in a terrible metaphor.
But ostensibly, the consequence of that is the easier it has been to say whatever it is that you want to say, the less has been said. In other words, the quality of content.
I feel like people from our generation and older make a similar argument comparing when you communicated through letters versus...
That's true, but they're right.
Communicating through...
Email.
Email versus communicating through Facebook or Twitter.
Sure.
And I say that because I don't, you know, I really don't want to be the old lady on my porch swinging my fist at the kids on my lawn. And if we have infrastructure, how do we help? How do we make that useful to the,
sure,
we'll at this point say almost three generations after us, who might be able to do something interesting with it in this world of anarchy that they live in that we don't? And I don't want to say that theirs isn't as relevant. And I don't want to say that theirs isn't real and it doesn't matter. Sure. It's just foreign to me, but that doesn't make it bad.
I mean, if to answer that question a little bit more precisely, I would say that the Rise Up model, as much as I sort of disagreed with it over the years, right? Rise Up mostly is known as a provider of email to radicals, which, you know, we've provided email for 20 years for radicals, but we never opened it up as a general thing.
Right.
For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that I didn't want to feel like I was performing charity, acts of charity. And also I didn't know how to fund something that would be so huge. And I think that the problem today is that there are probably some desperate needs for anarchist infrastructure-based services beyond email and VPN, which Rise Up do just fine. And I just don't, but the charity problem continues to exist. And I just can't perceive of a way in which I could engage in that problem and not be a charity.
Okay. And I liked the last part of the question. Can we create real communities and find real freedom online, or will that all become increasingly removed from us? And I think part of the reason that I like that is because in the 90s, the internet was talked about the place where you could finally, you could have actual freedom, right? Richard Stallman, he was a nutcase.
That was not his line, but I know what you're.
But you know, just that you know, this is the place where you're going to be able to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are equivocal comparisons to the early days of the internet and the early days of television. You didn't really know what it was yet, and so you just could kind of do anything, sure, and you tried to do everything, and so that you could figure out what it was. And I think the internet has become fairly well defined now. And it feels like there is less freedom because everyone communicates in these very particular boxes. And if you communicate outside those boxes, you're a lot harder to find. But that's not my point. I guess I'm just, is there a infrastructure part? Is infrastructure a part of the answer to the freedom question? Can we find freedom on Facebook?
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
The Weekly Anarchy 101 Question and Some Answers. In this segment, we take questions and some of the answers and responses from the website anarchy101.org, a user-moderated Q&A site for anarchists to answer questions on anarchist thought and activity. Most questions on the site have a lot of commentary that we don't read, and that commentary is certainly at least half the fun and also can make the answers make more sense. The question this week is, can a Catholic or Christian be an anarchist? Answer number one, yes, to name two, Dorothy Day and Leo Tolstoy. Most anarchists reject religion as classical European anarchism developed in a time of scientism when rationality and science were seen as the answer to humanity's ills, and anarchism was supposed to be eminently rational. The church, of whatever Christian denomination, is of course a common example of political corruption, among other things, and so there were plenty of practical reasons to be anti-church also. The reason to be against God, or gods, could be either because people acting in the name of God will always have or develop a kind of self-righteousness that is antithetical to what most folks see as anarchy, and or because the idea of a God outside of ourselves seems inherently hierarchical, teaches people to submit to earthly forces, for example. But there are religious folks, including some Christians, who believe that we are all God or all have God inside of us. And so their practice is one that refers to doing as they think right, sometimes in strong conflict with what is expected of them, in a way that at least looks like what anyone would call anarchist resistance. Answer number two. I do not think that someone who has religious faith, the unquestioning belief in a higher power, can have an authentic desire for anarchy in their own life. I simply can't see it. I think it is possible that they could hold some views that might be considered anarchistic. Moralism, which is foundational to any religion I am aware of, and surely all forms of Christianity, is an ideology that I do not think can be reconciled with anarchy, at least any anarchy I am interested in, so my answer is no. Answer number three. I'm giving my original answer turned comment a makeover. I don't see how a Catholic Christian can be an anarchist. They may have some anarchic views, I guess, and even do some anarchic stuff, but it seems to me that there must be some presumed separation between this world and the beyond for this to jibe. Anarchy only fits for us mortals, of course, in the former, lesser world, and then only to a degree by decree, and in the latter, only for God prior to creation. I say this as one who uses the word anarchy in the sense of movement, flux, process, becoming, rather than a future state of being. According to the mythology, God is boss of both worlds, so the parameters of anarchy are set in stone tablets for us to follow, and following doesn't seem all that anarchic to me, especially when the choices are paired down to yes-nos, like follow or roast for eternity. In my opinion, fear simply isn't fertile ground for lives to flower forth in joy, beauty, and gratitude for this immediate moment. Fear promotes more misery. Also, it seems to me that religion has always been a cohort of the state by way of normalizing hierarchical dominating relationships, while at the same time providing salve to cope with the very shitty circumstances it provides apologia for, aka morality. In sum, a state of consciousness in favor of and protecting the state of enforced conditions. How one reconciles the flux and uncertainties of anarchy with the cosmic pyramid scheme of law and order seems to involve some spectacular hermeneutical gymnastics in order to not anger God. As always, if you don't like these answers or have your own question to ask, visit anarchy101.org and join the conversation. This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel, written by Jackie. The editorial was written by Chisel, narrated by Chisel and DM. And we thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, books, pamphlets, and other anarchist material, littleblackcard.com, news and up-to-the-minute commentary, anarchistnews.org.